Genesis 10. I'm sure that all of you went out and read that this week so that you can see what it is that we're going to go through today. And really, if you did, then you didn't have anything else to do because it's really kind of a perplexing chapter. But here we are in the pinnacle, or I should say at the pinnacle of our studies in the beginning portion of Genesis. And what I mean by that is the first 11 chapters of Genesis or the epic story of the beginnings of the universe, the creation of human beings, and the earliest origins of civilization. All of these grand themes apply to the whole world and tell the story of how we came to be as we are today. You and me, why we are where we're at today, right here in Los Baños. But it tells us about how you and I actually came about to be and who our ancestors were. Very important that we know that. We'll see when we get to chapter 12 that it begins with what is well regarded as the greatest story ever told. It starts with the command to God to Abram, who would become Abraham. He said, "Leave your country, your people, and your father's household." And it's Abram's going forth, his obedience that begins to bring about the salvation story. All of us long for salvation. We long to be saved from something, this world, maybe the things that go on in our life. And we get that salvation story through the line of Abram. But through Abram's response to the call of God, the Savior would eventually be born and he would overturn all that had gone wrong in with the race that was given to rule the planet. But before we get to that, let's look at what God's word gives us up to that point. Chapter 10 is a chapter of genealogies. And I'm sure that just like you, when I saw this chapter, I said, "Oh man, how am I going to get through this? Reading this, should I read like 2 verses a week?" And, you know, I originally thought, you know, we could spend 10 weeks in chapter 10, but we're not going to do that. What purpose does this chapter have of my life to actually know this stuff? Well, you and I are not alone because a great many commentators have felt the same way. And some have actually bypassed this chapter, meaning that they wanted to spend more time on chapter 11. And unfortunately, we won't be doing that today. But for the sake of time, while I will not exposit every verse today, we'll get to the main point. And so would you follow along with me as I expertly read this, and all the names, they're all going to be just perfect, and so follow along with me. Chapter 10, verse 1, "Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The sons were born to them after the flood. The sons of Japheth were Gomer, Magog, Madai, Javan, Tubal, Meshes, and Tiras. The son of Gomer was Ashkenaz, Riphath, and that guy." This verse 4, "The sons of Javan were Elishash, Tarshish, Kittim, and Dodanim. From these, the coastland peoples of the Gentiles were separated into their lands, everyone according to their language, according to their families, into their nations." Verse 6, "The sons of Ham were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. The sons of Cush were Seba, Havilah, Sabta, Ramah, and that guy. And the sons of Ramah were Sheba and Dedan. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth." Verse 9, "He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Therefore it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calneh, and the land of Shinar," or summer. Some of your translations will say summer. "From the land that he went to Assyria, and he built Nineveh, Rehoboth, and Calah, and Rezin between Nineveh and Calah, that is the principal city. Mizraim begot Ludim, Anannim, Lehabim," that guy, "the next guy, and that other guy, from whom came the Philistines," and that person. "The Canaan begot Sidon, his firstborn, and Heth, the Jebusite, the Amorite, and the Girgazite, the Hivite, the Arkite, and the Sinite, the Arvadite, the Samarite, and the Hapathite. Afterwards, the families of the Canaanites were dispersed. And the border of the Canaanites were from Sidon as you go towards Gerar, as far as Gaza. And then as you go towards Sodom, Gomorrah, Adma, and Zeboim, as far as Lasha. And these were the sons of Ham, according to their families, according to their languages and their lands, and in their nations. See, you thought you had a big family history. Verse 21, and the children were born also to Shem, and the father of all the children of Eber, the brother of Japheth, the elder. The sons of Shem were Elam, Ashfra, that guy, Lud, and Aram. The sons of Aram were Uz, Hul, Gether, and Mash. Aphrax begot Selah, and Selah begot Eber. And to Eber were born two sons. The one name was Peleg, for in his days the earth was divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. Joktan begot Almadad, Shelfith, that guy, and Jerah, Hadoram, Uzal, that guy, Obal, Abimal, Sheba, Ophir, Havilah, and Jobab. All these were the sons of Joktan. And their dwelling place was from Mesha as you go towards Sephar, the mountain of the east. And these were the sons of Shem, according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to the nations, their nations. These were the families of the sons of Noah, according to their generations, in their nations. And from these, the nations were divided on the earth after the flood. Lord, we thank you. For why you ever gave this to Moses, Lord, is beyond us, but we know that you had very good reason for doing it. And Lord, as we peruse through this, Lord, I pray that you would help me to exposit this, Lord, to make sense and give clarity to the hearer's ears, Lord, and that it would actually penetrate our hearts. For we know, Lord, that your word is holy. You wouldn't have put it in here if it wasn't for our need. And so, Lord, help us, Lord, to receive from it. This day we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I know some of you were probably sitting there going, oh, I already read that, Al. And if you really were that good, you could be up here doing this. And as I began to look at that, I thought, that's like a whole 32 verses. But not only that, I want to kind of give us a kind of a point of where we're going to, kind of like the big idea of the chapter. And the big idea of the chapter is going to be the beginning of civilization, where we all came from. I remember back in the 80s that there was a big push to find out your family ancestry. You remember that? Where you came from. And I remember oftentimes folks would place their self-esteem in the fact that their search for their elders produced famous people related to them. But along with that, some folks found out that they were related to people like Hitler and some other criminals, or maybe some cattle rustler, or, you know, for us and our heritage, maybe it was Pancho Villa or, you know, something like that. But it amazes me how people will often feel the need to go back to find out about their long ago relatives. And maybe I don't think much of it. I really don't, because for me, it only goes back to my grandparents, who I had never met because they were all deceased before I was born. And my family history cannot be found too far back. And maybe that's a good thing, because I probably would find some things in my family that were like, you know, ooh, that was pretty bad. Or if there was one good thing, I would hang on to that, you know. My great-great-great-great-grandfather was King Abdullah, you know, of Jordan or something like that. And no, for those of you who are wondering, the King of Jordan and I are not related. If we were, I'd have him be kicking down some cash over here in Los Baños, helping us out. But we're not related. But it's important to note that no matter how far we go back, you're able to go into searching for your ancestors, you will always come back to this genealogy. And hopefully it's on the screen. That's the genealogy of Cain and the genealogy of Seth. If you look at Cain's, it says there was no mention of death. It's the last thing that we talked about. For Seth, death is frequently mentioned. From one murderer, Cain, to another, Lamech. You guys remember that when we went over that in chapter 3, I think it was, chapter 4. But from the genealogy of Seth, we see it from Seth to Noah. Of course, in the genealogy of Cain, Enoch, Cain's son, after whom a city is named. And the Enoch in Seth line walked with God and was no more. There was a Lamech in Cain's line, had two wives, should be two and not toe. Never toe your wives. Okay, two wives, my notes say toe, but had two wives and murdered a boy. The Lamech in Seth line saw his son as the key to removing the curse. The emphasis on technological achievements comes from Cain. The emphasis on faith or walking with God comes from Seth. Cain's line ends at the flood. It doesn't end for Seth because Noah becomes the deliverer. And so both of these genealogies at the end of the flood, but in a very different manner. The flood wipes out the line of Cain, and Seth's line will be preserved through Noah. And remember, Seth was Adam and Eve's son after Adam was killed by his brother Cain. Remember that? Human history kind of goes like this genealogically. Adam to Seth to Enoch to Methuselah to Lamech to Noah. And so in six names, you get down to Noah, and that's Noah's line. Adam, Seth, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. And so some of you have that look on your faces like, what did he say? And why is he telling us that? It's important for us to know these things because the whole human race then follows the same line because all of humanity was destroyed by the flood, leaving only Noah. Remember that. We can even do better than Noah because Scripture indicates for us that these three sons, which you should see on the screen, and then in Genesis 10 and 11, we have lines of descent from these three sons. And this is what chapter 10 is about. In chapter 10, verse 2, the sons of Japheth, and it goes on, verse 6, the sons of Ham, and it goes on to list them. And then in verse 21, as we read, also to Shem, it goes on to list them. And so, now, what is this chapter? Why do we have it in here? It's called the Table of Nations, or it could be the Family of Nations. This is how the families of these nations began. And it traces the descent of man through the three sons of Noah, and there is more of this found in chapter 11. This is something that's can be very struggling for you at times, because many of you are sitting right now and go, what does that have to do with me? I'm having car problems. I'm having trouble finding a job. What does that have to do with me? It has everything to do with you. It tells us not only where we came from, but it helps us to line up with where we're going. Many of you today have family members who do not serve the Lord. They don't know the Lord. You've been separated from them for many years. I know that I have a great deal of family in Colorado, and primarily they are into Catholicism. And it's really weird because once I had left there many years ago when I was real small, they exceeded in Catholicism. And when we came out to California, we were just heathens. And I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't even grow up in a Catholic home. We went to church, but we went to church like twice a year, you know. And as kids, we went more because it was a time my dad could relax while my mom took the rest of us to church. And in church, there really was not much that I learned other than don't let my mom catch you goofing around because you got pinched, or some of you had the same thing, huh? Or you got that look from your mom like, wait till you get home. You're in trouble. I didn't really know about Jesus until I came to know him personally. But what this is going to do, it's going to trace the descent of man through the three sons of Noah. And there is more, as I said, found in chapter 11. This is going to consider the issue of the children of Shem because they are the dominant people in the story of redemption in Scripture. So as we go through, if you remember one thing, just remember of these three brothers, we want to hang on to Shem because that's ultimately where all this stuff is going to come from, of why you're sitting in this room today. Some of you maybe were invited here today and you don't know why you're here. But all the way back to this chapter, God knew why you would be invited. Can you imagine that? Thousands of years ago, God knew that you would be here today. And you would be hearing this message because he has a plan And his plan began way back here in this chapter, and even more than that in the beginning of the world. But for this chapter, we'll follow the line of human history through the three sons of Noah. Let's look at verse 1 again. It says, "Now this is the genealogy of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And it says, "And the sons were born to them after the flood." Meaning, all of these kids that I read about to you in there, this guy, that guy, and that guy, they were all born to Noah's sons after the flood. If you look with me, the beginning of chapter 10, verse 1, the end of verse 1, what does it say? And they were born to them after the flood. That's going to be a key word that we're going to read, because in verse 32, it also ends with those three words, after the flood. Keep that at the forefront of your thinking. After the flood is very crucial. It's going to be crucial today, and it's going to be crucial next week. This is history in the new world. And we can, as I said earlier, all claim Noah as a distant relative. The next crucial man in the genealogical chart in redemptive history is going to be Abraham. And we'll be introduced to Abraham at the end of chapter 11 next week. And so for now, we're going to be looking at the descendants of Noah. Because one of the things that's important for us to know, that from Abraham comes the Jewish race, the Hebrews, the people of Israel, God's missionary nation. But why is that important? Because from Abraham did come the Jews who God gave covenants to, promises, adoption, the law, the scriptures, the ministry, and most importantly, it's through Abraham whom God sent the Messiah, the conqueror and the destroyer of Satan, and the Savior of the world. That's how important this chapter is, that it lines all the way up from Noah's sons all the way to Jesus. And Jesus is the focal point of who we worship in our services because of what he did on the cross for us. Noah, obviously, is a critically important person, but the next person would be Abraham. And so between Noah and Abraham, we have this family history recorded, which includes the son of Japheth, the sons of Ham, but most particularly, as I said earlier, specifically the sons of Shem, because of what Abraham would do. It's through Abraham, as I said, that we'll see redemption to the people of God. And that's why this genealogy is so important. I don't know about you, but as I studied this all week long, I thought I was going to have to be committed into an institution because my brain just was fried by the time I get done with it. And I was like, how do I make sense of this, Lord? And from Abraham comes the people of God. From him comes the great King David. And from Abraham comes, as I said, the Messiah who fulfills all these promises. But before we get to Abraham, we need to start right here and work our way through this interesting genealogy of the sons of Noah. And it's important to note that this is the only accurate source of this period. This is the only existing written record of what happened in those days. This is true history. It cannot be changed. It's God's word. It is what it is. It is true. Again, it was written by Moses, who wrote the first five books of the law, or I should say, the first five books of the Bible, and it is inspired by God. And it is pointed out that it's Shem, Ham, and Japheth, all these sons that were born after the flood. If we notice the order in which verse 1 lists them, Moses gives us the chronological order in reverse, though. And there's a reason for that. The reason is that he's going to be giving us the line of Seth, which is designed to move towards the people of God, the Israelites, the Hebrews. This certainly will help us out as we get into more of the Old Testament. When you hear about the Israelites, when they're fighting with the Gergesites and the Hivites and all those, I mean, it made total sense to me after that why they were doing that. But that's why Shem is the last one on the list. It's as if the Lord talks about Japheth. He talks about Ham. And he gives something of their history, and that clears the path to get to Shem. Moses is recording this. And it's been given to him, and he's writing it down. He's heard these stories before. This is where this family came from. I don't know about you. I'm at the place in my life now where my mom, who has Alzheimer's, and one of the things that my mom, she has a real hard time just really focusing. She doesn't remember. I'll have a conversation with her, and in that conversation, five times she'll ask me how my wife is. And I just always answer the same way. She's fine. She's doing good. What's Linda doing? She's in another room. She'll just ask me it over and over. She doesn't remember that she said that. But if I ask her questions about when she was little, wow, she remembers that. So God gave me half of a brain to say, ask her all about your family. So I just started filling out, you know, my own genealogy and things about my, what did my grandfather die of? What did my grandmother die of? What was your favorite thing that you learned about your mom or that you loved about your mom? What about, because she was the youngest of 10. And so tell me all these stories. So I'm writing them down. My son will be the gifter of that. My granddaughters will get that. They'll know where I came from. And so you as well will be able to see that. And that's why this is so important for us. We're going to keep one thing in mind that through this study, but I need to give an explanation of it here. This genealogy in chapter 10 is deliberately out of chronological order because Moses wanted the account of the confusion of the tongues that we're going to see in chapter 11. He wanted that to be the dividing line in the genealogy of Shem. In verses 21 through 31, the line of Shem is traced through Joktan. And after the account of the confusion of the languages at Babel, Moses traces the line of Shem through Eber's son. Now, that's a lot of hogwash for you right now, but it'll make sense next week because we're going to see that in verses 10 through 26 in chapter 11. But it's through this line that Abraham's genealogy is traced. And the genealogy of chapter 10 includes some very significant historical notes. For one, in it, and I'm not going to read verses 2 through 6, but in chapter, or I should say in verse 8 through 12, Moses pauses momentarily by this one person named Nimrod. Look with me, if you would, at verse 8. Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one on the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord, before it is said, like Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, Erech, Akkad, and Calneh in the land of Shinar. And so Moses goes into great detail with this person called Nimrod. It says that Nimrod was a mighty hunter, and that was the beginning of his kingdom, that it was Babel. Nimrod, in other words, was a city builder. He was the founder of the city of Babel, as we're going to see in chapter 11. Very important city. Nimrod was not a good person. If you've ever been compared with Nimrod, that's not a good thing. You know, if someone says, man, you're such a Nimrod, that's not a good thing. That means that you have something going on inside you that's potentially evil. And you love to build cities and build things, but what you'll do eventually is lead people away from God. And we're going to see that. We've already been prepared for something evil so far as this, the city of Babel, is concerned. But we're given the names of the sons of Canaan. And each of these sons becomes a patriarch and one of the Canaanite nations with whom the Israelites would have to deal with later. Remember, where was it that Moses was leading the people to? The land flowing with milk and honey. What was it? The land of Canaan, where the Canaanites lived. They were to push them out and overtake it because they took it from God. And we're going to see that as Genesis goes on. But as we read on, one would have to wonder, why does Moses plop this long line of names down in the middle of a post-flood narrative? It's like, who are these people? Where do they come from? And most importantly, what difference does it make to you and I? The place to begin in answering these questions is just what we've done right here in verse 1. They were born after the flood. The descendants of Japheth, you can, if you're taking notes, are in verses 2 through 5. The descendants of Ham are in verses 6 through 20. And the descendants of Shem are in verses 21 through 31. Now, interesting enough, I had a different message for you yesterday. I spent about 5 hours typing it out. And while we had our newcomers dinner last night, something very strange happened to my computer. My notes that were on it that I was going to get back to as soon as I got done with the dinner, very mysteriously, my computer had shut off. And as I'm often telling Linda, make sure you save. Save what you're working on. And I didn't take my own advice, and I didn't save it. And so when I woke up at 4:30 this morning, there was no notes. And I thought, what am I going to do now? How do I make sense of this? So what I've done is I've took the liberty of looking at some very informative information by this one author who really explains chapter 10. And he talks about the sons, the three sons of Noah. And let me highlight this for you if I would. The descendants of Japheth in verses 2 through 5, this is what he said. These verses list 14 names after the flood. The descendants of Japheth spread out to the north and the west and the middle east. Gomer lived in the region north of the Black Sea. Madai became the father of the Medes. Javan founded the tribes living in Greece. Mesheth and Tubal settled in Russia. Now we're beginning to see a picture. If I had a map, which I don't, for you, you would begin to see, oh, I know Russia. Now you're going to see where these descendants came from. One branch of Japheth's family moved east and settled in the region of India. And thus you have the descendants of Japheth stretching from India through Russia across the Mediterranean Sea northward into Europe and Scandinavia. It is noteworthy that linguists tell us that there are amazing similarities between the languages of Europe, Iran, and India. Isn't that interesting? That where these guys came from was Japheth. And to the point that they called, that they believe that they were once a common language called by experts the Indo-European. I thought that was interesting. Verse 5, he says, adds the fact that Japhethites settled in the islands and were mariners, traveling and constantly expanding their territory. Less is said about the descendants of Japheth because they lived in regions remote from the promised land. And since they do not largely figure into the Old Testament story, they are given very little mention in Genesis chapter 10. He says the Japhethites will figure prominently in the expansion of the gospel in the New Testament. Very interesting. They're going to resurface again. He gives the descendants of Ham in verses 6 through 20. He says the section on Ham's descendants lists 30 names. After the flood, the Hamites moved south and west. Ham's four sons were Cush, Mizraim, Put, and Canaan. He said Cush is Ethiopia, Mizraim is Egypt, Put is Libya, and Canaan refers to the Holy Land, the land of Israel. Isn't that amazing? You wouldn't see that just looking at this. How does Israel fare in this now? It's going to become a prominent nation. He says in verses 8 through 12, mentioned a son of Cush named Nimrod that we spoke of earlier. He was a mighty warrior, a hunter, a man of considerable skill, and a man of rebellious spirit. Nimrod means rebel. I love that, what he says. He was the Rambo of the Old Testament, a tyrant with enormous leadership skills and great military powers. He founded, or he took over, Babel, and later to become Babylon and Nineveh, later to become the capital of the Assyrian Empire. Remember, Nineveh, that's where Jonah was supposed to go and tell them, look, you need to repent. If you know the story of Jonah, you know the reason why he did that is because they were a mean people. They would skin people alive. They would literally hang them on a stake and they would skin them alive. That is mean. That came from Nimrod. But he said it is noteworthy that the Babylonians and the Assyrians were the greatest enemies of Israel in the Old Testament. Nimrod is thus responsible for establishing vast empires in rebellion against God. Filled with idolatry and greed, and kept in power through military might and unspeakable cruelty. Do you know who I thought of as I was reading his words? Immediately what popped up, because it comes from this region, Saddam Hussein. You could look at Saddam Hussein just like Nimrod, because that's his inheritance. Isn't that amazing? I don't know about you, but I get excited about that. And then we're learning, well, where am I going to come from? Verses 15 through 18, he mentions the various Canaanite tribes, the Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Girgazites, Hivites, Arkites, Sinites, Arvadites, Zemarites, and Hamathites, all those ites. These were the people of Joshua and his followers, and they had to fight when they entered the Holy Land. It is thought that after the collapse of the empire, the Hittites migrated east and settled in the region of western China. Look how important that is. I'm tying this in for you. Every one of these countries, we're going to see something at the end of this. This writer offers extensive evidence that the Sinites later became part of the Assyrian Empire. At least a portion of them became part of the early settlement in China. Look how important the Old Testament is, even in China. He offers a number of connections between the name Sin and various Chinese words. It is noteworthy that the study of Chinese literature, history, and culture is called Sinology. And some writers speculate that a branch of the Hamite people crossed the ancient land bridge and the Bering Straits between Russia and Alaska, becoming the first settlers of the North and South America. That's amazing. Because we thought that the Native American Indians were first, right? Look how long ago this is happening. But it does suggest that the American Indian tribes, along with the Aztec and the Mayan people groups, descended from Ham. Even they have an inheritance, and it came from Ham. All of these people prospered for a long time. He goes on to say more. I'm going to spare you with it. But only slowly were these people conquered and ultimately destroyed in fulfillment of Noah's words, as Pastor Gino pointed out last week. When he said, remember when he spoke about Noah and his youngest son went in and saw him naked, and he said, cursed is Canaan. It was going to be his grandson. In that culture, you could not curse your own son, but it would be from the line down from them. And here we see it. Canaan, from Canaan comes Nimrod. From Canaan comes the people who turned away from God. He gives a list of Shem as well, and I'm going to spare you with that because we're going to be going over that next week. But through this whole chapter, everyone that came from Shem, we're going to see they're the ones that are going to be used for the people of God. But throughout this chapter, we're told, if you read in there, it says that it was according to their families, according to their languages, in their lands, according to their nations. But here's the gig. During the time of chapter 10, there was only one language. And it could be confusing if you read that after every descendant that is written, it says after their own language. The language we're going to find wasn't separated until chapter 11. But he's given us a picture of all these people before we get there. One of the things that is so amazing to me is that it's going to signify that all the peoples, after they were divided in our next chapter, by far the most important fact is that Shem is where the Messiah would be a direct descendant of. When I started reading that, I thought, man, I hope that my line is from Shem, you know. How else could it be that I came to know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior? But we're going to see all through our studies that it can happen with any of these people. There's a propensity, though, for the families of Japheth and Ham to turn away from God. After the flood, everyone on earth is descended from one of these three men. And that includes all the 6 billion plus people who presently inhabit the planet Earth today. We are all descendants of these three sons of Noah. We are all branches from the same family. And every person is related to every other person on this earth. And here's the proof. They say that you can take the blood of an Irishman and transfuse it into the body of a woman from Japan, and his blood will save her life. Or you can take her blood and transfuse it to a man from Brazil, and her blood will save his life. Researchers tell us that the human DNA is so stable that you can take two people from any place on earth and compare their DNA, and it will be 99.8% identical. That is massive. And he says, furthermore, 0.2% difference, the visible characteristics such as skin, color, eye shape, and so on, account for only 0.012% of genetic difference. This means that the so-called racial differences, which seem so important to many people, are trivial to the point of significance. There is no such thing as racism, is what he's saying. There is only one race, and that's the human race. And I find this so interesting because even in our fellowship, there's such a diverse type of people. We have Portuguese, Italian, Hispanics, African American, Indian American. Me with a last name like Abdullah just messed everything up. But we have so many different nationalities here. But yet we're all one. We all came from one. And there was a divide somewhere. But I don't believe for one moment that there is racism. Oh, you hear it all the time. But why? Because they have to give it a name. But really, racism is somebody who has an indifference towards someone else who has a different color of skin or their culture. It's just plain, we think we're better than them. That's what that is. Because ultimately, we all came from the same place. And we as Christians often don't look at what the Bible says regarding that, because if we would be honest with ourselves, it goes all the way back to who? Adam. And from Adam, all these descendants came. God saw that the place was evil, and he flooded the earth, and he killed so many evil people, save Noah and his sons. And then the earth was populated again, as we just saw in this chapter. That's why I read it all to you. It was all populated again. And there again, the people began to forget about God. I don't know about you. In our next chapter, we're going to see how fast, after the flood, the people began to forget about God. I don't understand why that happened. I look at it and say, what's wrong with these people? Did they not understand the flood? But then the Lord quietly in my own heart began to speak to me, saying, Al, how have you forgotten me? How have you forgotten me this week? Have you given me everything, your whole life? Have you given me your whole heart? How do we today as a church forget about God? Oftentimes, we'll put more emphasis into our jobs. We'll give to our employer 40, some 60 hours a week, and we give God 30 minutes. It's hard to come in here to get up by 9, to be here at the start of 10, to give God that hour and 15 minutes that we have through worship, through the Word of God, through giving, through fellowship. God, I gave you an hour and a half. See, God weighs these things according to the measure of what we give him. And he says, and even in spite of it, you know what? I still love you. There are some people today who don't even give God credence. I find it more and more especially going on because the world hates God. The world puts its faith in man. That's why they're so prominent about voting the right guy to run this country. Hey, I got a question for us. How's it working out? It's not, is it? The only hope that we can hope for is change, and change back to the way it was, where we can at least have God in this country again. The world doesn't care about God. And here's what's happening. The more that we don't profess him, and I'm not talking about running out in the street corner and acting crazy. I'm talking about living your life by the characteristics of what Jesus has said in his word. How do we forget about God in our era? We make life more about ourselves instead of following what his word has directed us to. That's how we forget about God. We forget about God when we say, I'm too tired to get up today to go. Hey, I know what that's like. I was scheduled to wake up at 4:30 this morning, and God woke me up at 4 o'clock. He knew my notes were gone, so I guess he figured, Al, you need 20 more minutes, get up. Oh, okay, God. But you know what's so cool is there were people who were out there praying for me. Because God wants you to get his message. No matter what happens in my life, no matter what goes on with the computer or the Bible, the one thing I do know is that I could pick up this thing and come here and read it to you and make some sense of it because of all week long studying it. Some of your kids are going to come to you today and say, Mom, Dad, where did God come from? And you're going to be like, oh, let me tell you, son, let's go to Genesis chapter 1 and I'll share with you. Or ask your Bible study teacher next week when you go to church, when they're looking at you going, but I want you to tell me. The only way you can know that is by actually reaching in here. We're going to look through chapter 11 next week, and we'll be able to cover the whole chapter because, again, we're going to see another genealogy in there. But look with me as we close verse 1 of chapter 11. And now the whole earth had one language and one speech. Let's go to verse 8. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. Very interesting, that statement. Because next week, you're going to see what happened with these people. What they did, how they began to try to devise a plan that was not of God. My question for us today, while we close, what has God put in our hearts to get to know him? What is it that I have devised? What am I planning other than what he has told me? And so for this week, what I want us to do is I want us to just call out to him in the course of the week. Say, God, speak to me through this chapter, chapter 11, and let me read it and make sense of it to me so that I can know you. I want to be a people. Even though I came from a descendant of either Japheth, Ham, or Shem, this I do know. This is so important. It matters not where we came from. What matters is where we're going. And if we're not going to see him, then we need to get this thing in line and say, Lord, shape my ancestry. Okay, that was that, but what's going to happen from here on out? That's what we want to be looking at. Where am I headed? Okay, let's pray. Father, I thank you so much, for number one, for getting me through this chapter, but even more so, Lord, of showing us how important every word that you put in this Bible is for us. And Lord, you're speaking to the hearts of people today who've never even come to know you. And yet, thousands of years ago, when these men walked on this planet, you knew we would be here. That's how awesome you are. You knew all of us would be in this room today. It was by your hand and by your plan. And you know who will be here next week and the week after. And so, Lord, help us as we uncover your word in our lives to look all this week to see, wow, that's amazing. We came that far back. But, Lord, what's going to happen tomorrow? Where will we be if you happen to come back, Jesus, tomorrow? What will we be doing? what will we be found doing? God, my prayer is that we would be found a people seeking after you and after your word. In Jesus' name, amen.